Why Don't We Study Whiteness? By Schaefer. Race is socially constructed. Sometimes we come to define race in a clear-cut manner. A descendant of a pilgrim is white, for example. But sometimes race is more ambiguous. People who are the children of an African American and Vietnam's American Union are biracial or mixed, or whatever they come to be seen as by others. Our recognition that race is socially constructed has sparked a renewed interest in what it means to be white in the U.S. Two aspects of white as a race are useful to consider: the historical creation of whiteness and how contemporary white people reflect on their identity. When the English immigrants established themselves as the political founders of the U.S., they also came to define what it meant to be white. Other groups that today are regarded as white, such as Irish, Germans, Norwegians, or Swedes, were not always considered white in the eyes of the English. Differences in language and religious worship, as well as past allegiance to a king in Europe different from the English monarch, all caused these groups to be seen not so much as whites in the Western Hemisphere but more as nationals of their home country who happened to be residing in America. The old distrust in Europe, where, for example, the Irish were viewed by the English as socially and culturally inferior, continued on this side of the Atlantic. Karl Marx, writing from England, reported that the average English worker looked down on the Irish the way poor whites in the U.S. South looked down on black people. Whiteness. As European immigrants and their descendants assimilated to the English and distanced themselves from other oppressed groups such as American Indians and African Americans, they came to be viewed as white rather than as part of a particular culture. Ignatieff, 1994, 84, contrasted being white with being Polish, argues that whiteness is nothing but an expression of race privilege. This strong statement argues that being white, as opposed to being black or Asian, is characterized by being a member of the dominant group. Whites as people do not think of themselves as a race or have a conscious racial identity. The only occasion when a white racial identity emerges is momentarily when whites fill out a form asking for self-designation of race, or one of those occasions when they are culturally or socially surrounded by people who are not white. Many immigrants who were not white on arrival had to become white in a process long forgotten by today's white Americans. The long-documented transparent racial divide that engulfed the South during slavery allowed us to ignore how whiteness was constructed. There are articles titled How Asians Became White, How the Jews Became White, etc. Therefore, contemporary white Americans generally give little thought to being white. Consequently, there is little interest in studying whiteness or considered being white except that it is not being black. Unlike non-whites, who are much more likely to interact with whites, take orders from whites, and see whites as the leading figures in the mass media, whites enjoy the privilege of not being reminded of their whiteness. Unlike racial minorities, whites downplay the importance of their racial identity, although they are willing to receive the advantages that come from being white. This means that advocacy of a colorblind or race-neutral outlook permits the privilege of whiteness to prevail. The new interest seeks to look at whiteness but not from the vantage point of a white supremacist. Rather, focusing on white people as a race or on what it means today to be white goes beyond any definition that implies superiority over non-whites. It is also recognized that being white is not the same experience for all whites any more than being Asian or being black is the same for all of those people. Ignatieff observes that studying whiteness is a necessary stage to the abolition of whiteness just as, in Marxist analysis, class consciousness is a necessary stage to the abolition of class. By confronting whiteness, society grasps the all-encompassing power that accompanies socially constructed race. White privilege. Whiteness carries with it a sense of identity of being white as opposed to being, for example, Asian or African. For many people, it may not be easy to establish a social identity of whiteness, as in the case of biracial children. However, one can argue that the social identity of whiteness exists if one enjoys the privilege of being white. White privilege refers to the rights or immunities granted as a particular benefit or favor for being white. This advantage exists unconsciously and is often invisible to the very white people who enjoy it. Ferber, 2008. McIntosh looked at the privilege that comes from being white and the added privilege of being male. The other side of racial oppression is the privilege enjoyed by dominant groups. Being white or being successful in establishing a white identity carries with it distinct advantages. Among those that McIntosh identified were: 1. I can, if I wish, arrange to be in the company of people of my race most of the time. 2. I can avoid spending time with people whom I was trained to mistrust and who have learned to mistrust my kind or me. 3. If I should need to move, I can be pretty sure of renting or purchasing housing in an area which I can afford and in which I would want to live. 4. I can be pretty sure that my neighbors in such a location will be neutral or pleasant to me. 5. I can go shopping alone most of the time, pretty well assured that I will not be followed or harassed. 6. I can turn on the television or open to the front page of the paper and see people of my race widely represented. 7. When I am told about our national heritage or about civilization, I am shown that people of my color made it what it is. 8. I can be sure that my children will be given curricular materials that testify to the existence of their race. 9. If I want to, I can be pretty sure of finding a publisher for this piece on white privilege. 10. I can be pretty sure of having my voice heard in a group in which I am the only member of my race. 11. I can be casual about whether or not to listen to another person's voice in a group in which he is the only member of his/her race. 12. I can go into a music shop and count on finding the music of my race represented, into a supermarket and find the staple foods which fit with my cultural traditions, into a hairdresser shop and find someone who can cut my hair. 13. Whether I use checks, credit cards or cash, I can count on my skin color not to work against the appearance of financial reliability. 14. I can arrange to protect my children most of the time from people who might not like them. 15. I do not have to educate my children to be aware of systemic racism for their own daily physical protection. 16. I can be pretty sure that my children's teachers and employers will tolerate them if they fight school and workplace norms. My chief worries about them do not concern others' attitudes toward their race. 17. I can talk with my mouth full and not have people put this down to my color. 18. I can swear, or dress in second-hand clothes, or not answer letters, without having people attribute these choices to the bad morals, the poverty or the illiteracy of my race. 19. I can speak in public to a powerful male group without putting my race on trial. 20. I can do well in a challenging situation without being called a credit to my race. 21. I am never asked to speak for all the people of my racial group. Semicolon. McIntosh, P. 1990. Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack. Semicolon. Whiteness does carry privileges, but most white people do not consciously think of them except on the rare occasions when they are questioned.